In rural Thailand, where poverty often dictates destiny, thousands of young boys find an unexpected path to opportunity through the gates of Buddhist monasteries. These little angels in saffron robes aren't primarily there out of religious devotion, but because monastic life offers their only escape from cycles of poverty, broken homes, and limited futures. Peter Robinson, who became a monk at 45 as Fra Peter Panapadipo, spent a decade documenting these remarkable stories before temporarily disrobing to establish the Students' Education Trust, helping impoverished novices pursue higher education. His work has garnered international attention, with celebrities like Emma Thompson praising the book as profoundly moving and essential reading for understanding Thailand's complex social fabric. The book has become required reading in many Southeast Asian studies programs worldwide, offering rare insight into a hidden dimension of Thai society that tourists rarely glimpse. Life as a novice monk involves navigating a complex web of rules and expectations that shape every moment from dawn until nightfall. The 10 precepts form the foundational ethical framework, forbidding killing, including insects, stealing, sexual activity, lying, using intoxicants, eating after noon, entertainment, including music and dancing, cosmetics and decorative items, luxurious furnishings, and handling money. Beyond these core precepts lie 75 additional training rules and countless cultural traditions that govern every aspect of daily life, from precise instructions on how to wear the three-piece robe set to maintaining proper walking posture with eyes cast downward 4 feet ahead. Despite this strict framework, monastery discipline operates through a nuanced balance of rigor and compassion. When novices break minor rules, senior monks often respond with understanding while maintaining clear boundaries. For instance, when novices need basic necessities their families can't provide, teacher monks might discreetly arrange support through temple donors rather than having them handle money directly. However, certain infractions like drug use result in immediate expulsion to protect the community. Even in these cases, abbots demonstrate compassion by ensuring the departing novice has civilian clothes, basic provisions, and funds to return home safely. This compassionate approach stems from deep understanding of novices' backgrounds. As one respected teacher monk from Sri Sakat province revealed, some boys arrived having faced such extreme poverty they had resorted to eating dirt and clay to quell hunger pangs. Others came from broken homes or had lived on the streets. For impoverished families, having sons ordained represents not abandonment, but a desperate bid to secure education, shelter, and opportunity. Many parents make this choice with heavy hearts, knowing it's their child's best chance for survival and advancement. The daily routine reflects this dual nature of structure and support. Novices rise at 4:30 a.m. to prepare for dawn alms rounds, walking barefoot through local neighborhoods in silence. They attend morning chanting at 5:30 a.m., eat breakfast communally by 7 a.m., attend school or religious studies until afternoon, participate in evening chanting at 6 p.m., clean temple grounds, assist senior monks, and study scriptures before retiring at 9:30 p.m. In urban monasteries, schedules can be even more demanding, with additional duties and studies stretching from 5 a.m. until 11 p.m. During rare free moments, entertainment is limited to appropriate activities like reading Dharma books or quiet meditation. Yet, within this highly structured environment, many novices discover something profound, a sense of purpose and belonging often absent from their previous lives. The monastery becomes more than just physical shelter. It transforms into a spiritual refuge where ancient wisdom traditions help heal childhood trauma while providing moral guidance and practical life skills. Through daily practice of mindfulness and ethical living, combined with education and community support, many find their life trajectories permanently altered for the better. The monastic system thus serves as both strict teacher and nurturing parent, helping transform vulnerable youth into capable young adults with improved prospects and deeper understanding of themselves and their place in the world. Thai Buddhist monasteries vary dramatically in atmosphere and discipline. Some resemble casual resorts with novices playing pop music and monks watching late-night football matches, while others maintain strict regimens with mandatory alms rounds, services, and meditation. Between these extremes exist countless variations among Thailand's 30,000 monasteries. Unlike cloistered Western religious orders, Thai monasteries function as public community centers, hosting religious ceremonies, elections, fundraising fairs, and performances. Many provide free lodging for poor students or troubled youth. Some even serve broader social purposes as orphanages, refugee camps, AIDS hospices, or drug rehabilitation centers. Short-term ordination is deeply embedded in Thai culture. Government agencies and companies offer ordination leave for men to temporarily become monks, typically during the 3-month rainy season retreat. This practice represents a rite of passage to adulthood, with unordained men sometimes considered unripe or immature. Many ordain to make merit for deceased relatives or express gratitude to parents, especially mothers. While adult men have some choice in ordination, boys under 20 typically have none. Their path to becoming novices usually stems from family poverty and lack of opportunity rather than religious conviction. In rural Thailand, especially the Northeast, farming families often live in desperate poverty, with some earning as little as 10,000 baht yearly, approximately $300. Many parents have no choice but to send their sons to monasteries simply to ensure they'll be fed daily. Beyond basic sustenance, monastery ordination often represents the only path to education for poor boys. Though 6 years of primary education is theoretically free, many families can't afford uniforms, books, or other associated costs. Thailand's 4,000 monastic schools vary greatly in quality and curriculum, from those teaching only religious subjects to others offering comprehensive secular education. Novices seeking education often travel far from home, sometimes going years without seeing their families. This separation, while painful, is seen as necessary sacrifice for the chance at a better future, one that might finally break the cycle of poverty that has trapped their families for generations. 15-year-old Novus Baum speaks proudly of his Asarn heritage, explaining how his northeastern Thai region differs culturally and linguistically from the rest of Thailand. "We are Laotian people," he explains, "speaking Laos language, eating spicier food, and having different physical features." Though outsiders sometimes look down on Asarn people as poor and uneducated, Baum defends his people as hardworking, family-oriented, and genuinely happy despite difficult circumstances. Baum grew up without his mother, who left when he was 1 year old. Raised by his father and later a loving stepmother in a poor rice farming village, his happiest childhood memory was buying trainer shoes at age 10, though they quickly fell apart, teaching him about materialism's emptiness. At 12, facing limited prospects after primary school, Baum became a novice at his village monastery at his father's suggestion. After breaking a precept by eating evening rice and experiencing a terrifying encounter with what he believed was a Peta ghost, he moved to a monastery in Nakhon Sawan to pursue his education. Now, at Wat Waranatban, Frog Temple, he studies both religious subjects and regular high school curriculum, particularly enjoying English. Though he struggles with some monastic restrictions like the prohibition against playing football, he finds fulfillment in his studies and earns money by chanting at funerals, which he occasionally spends at internet cafes playing computer games. "Sometimes it's difficult being a 15-year-old novice," he admits. "When I see ordinary boys in nice clothes, talking with girls, or playing football, I'm sometimes tempted to disrobe." Despite these temptations, Baum appreciates the opportunities monastic life has given him: education, independence, shelter, and freedom from village problems like drug use. While he doesn't plan to become a monk permanently, he will finish high school before deciding his future, hoping to study computers or find work to support his parents. Regardless of his path, he believes his time as a novice has improved his character and will help him become a kind, generous person. Novice Bonchar's story reveals the monastery's role as refuge for abused children. After his mother died from drug addiction, he was left with an abusive uncle who regularly beat him and forced him into delivering drugs. When the uncle threatened to send him to Bangkok with traffickers, Bonchar fled in the night, walking 10 kilometers back to a monastery where he had briefly stayed before. "I was terrified," Bonchar recalls. "I knew if he found me, he would beat me worse than ever before." The abbot believed his story and sent him to another monastery far away in Nakhon Sawan to protect him. There, Bonchar ordained as a novice monk, finding sanctuary in Buddhism and working hard at his studies. A year later, he learned his uncle had died in a fight, bringing overwhelming relief. 8 months after that, he was reunited with his sister, who had been searching for him. She had found happiness with a German man she planned to marry, and they invited Bonchar to live with them in Germany. Though grateful, Bonchar made a surprising decision to remain in the monkhood. "I plan to ordain as a full monk at 20 and work at a monastery that helps abused and neglected children," he explains. "I want to use the Buddha's teachings about love and compassion to help others overcome suffering as I have." Bonchar's transformation illustrates how monasteries often serve as informal social safety nets in Thai society, providing refuge and structure for children who might otherwise fall through the cracks of conventional welfare systems. His story also demonstrates how the spiritual teachings of Buddhism can provide a framework for healing from trauma and finding purpose in helping others. Living with a Good Heart begins novice Narez, recounting his childhood in Nakhon Sawan province. Despite fond memories of swimming and riding buffaloes with his brothers at Bung Borapet Lake, life became increasingly difficult after his parents separated when he was 12. His mother could barely afford his school expenses, and he had to work the fields despite suffering from severe headaches that began after falling from a tree at age 7. When Narez finished junior high, continuing education seemed impossible until his father returned home. His parents selflessly encouraged him to become a novice so he could study further. After ordaining at 15, he moved to a monastery in Nakhon Sawan City with a good high school and discovered novices could study technical courses free at a nearby college. "I've been studying computers for nearly 3 years," he explains, despite difficult mathematics worsening my headaches. Though he dreams of a university degree to make his parents proud, he remains realistic about his ambitions and grateful for the opportunity to earn his certificate. As a student novice, Narez must balance religious duties with academic studies. This means sometimes breaking precepts like handling money for bus fare and books. "When I break rules, I try to make up for it by doing good deeds like helping elderly monks," he explains. The precepts have made him more mindful of his actions and their consequences. Narez particularly values meditation, which helps with his headaches and improves his concentration for studies. Learning Dhamma has taught him to control negative emotions and understand karma. When his current course ends, he'll likely disrobe and seek work in Bangkok, though he plans to temporarily ordain as a monk later to make merit for his mother. "The Buddhist teachings have shown me that happiness comes from within, regardless of circumstances," he reflects, a lesson my father never learned. For Narez, the monastery has provided not just education, but a philosophical framework for approaching life's challenges with equanimity and purpose. "When I was young, I loved my buffalo more than anything," begins novice Visarn, recounting his journey from buffalo boy to respected teacher. Growing up in rural Isan, his days were spent guiding his family's buffalo through verdant rice fields, speaking only his native Lao dialect and knowing little of the world beyond his village. After becoming a novice at age 12, following a common tradition for poor rural families, he spent his first 2 years being quite undisciplined, breaking precepts when no one was watching. He particularly enjoyed their Thudong pilgrimages, when they'd camp in the forest, sleeping under stars, and learning forest meditation techniques from senior monks. The transition from village life to monastic discipline proved challenging. In his early days at the temple, Fisarn would secretly break minor precepts, sneaking snacks after noon or playing games when he should have been studying. However, these small acts of rebellion masked a deeper search for meaning and purpose that would soon emerge through education. After 2 years of restlessness, Fisarn moved to a larger monastery in Nakhon Sawan province, where he could pursue formal studies. Though he initially struggled with Thai, his native language was Lao, he discovered an unexpected talent for languages, particularly fascinated by the intricate connections between Pali and Thai. The ancient Buddhist texts began to come alive for him as he recognized linguistic patterns and etymological links. For the first time, he found genuine joy in learning, earning certificates in both Pali and Dhamma studies, achievements that brought pride to his family and village. His life transformed dramatically when the abbot assigned him to teach Dhamma to younger novices. Seeing their respect and realizing I could make a difference gave me purpose, he explains. I discovered my calling as a teacher and began taking my role as a novice more seriously to set a good example. Teaching forced him to deepen his own understanding of Buddhist principles and helped him develop patience, communication skills, and leadership abilities he never knew he possessed. Now, approaching the end of high school at 19, Fisarn faces a complex decision about his future. He dreams of becoming a teacher, having discovered this passion through his monastic experience. But his family's poverty makes teacher training college impossible. The only path to teaching would be through ordaining as a monk, which requires following all 227 precepts strictly, a commitment he's unsure he can maintain. He also experiences natural yearnings for experiences common to young men his age, having a girlfriend, starting a family, exploring the world beyond temple walls. While wrestling with this decision, Fisarn takes pride in his remarkable journey from buffalo boy to respected novice teacher. His story powerfully illustrates how monastic education can reveal hidden talents and unexpected vocations, particularly for rural youth who might otherwise lack educational opportunities. Moreover, his experience demonstrates how teaching others can inspire personal growth, deepen spiritual practice, and transform an initially reluctant novice into someone who genuinely embodies Buddhist values and principles. By 13, Noom was laboring on a Bangkok building site 6 days weekly, sometimes 16 hours daily. I smoked, drank whiskey, took drugs regularly, and had started stealing from friends, he recalls. In just 1 year, I'd transformed from a happy, timid village boy into an unpredictably aggressive lout. After finishing primary school, Noom briefly helped on his family's land before his father decided he should work in Bangkok. His parents weren't bad. They cared for him deeply, but needed the income. His brother had already been working on building sites for 4 years, and Noom noticed how much he'd changed, haggard and unhealthy, drinking, smoking, and taking drugs. In Bangkok, Noom shared a tiny room with his brother and two other northern men, working at bending metal rods for concrete reinforcement. After 2 weeks of exhaustion from long hours, his brother suggested amphetamines to give him energy for overtime work. Within months, he became dependent on drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes. On the night before his 14th birthday, after drinking heavily and taking an unknown pill, Noom woke in a garbage-filled ditch. As he lay trembling, certain he was dying, he saw what he believed was the ghost of a novice monk. A thin boy my age in tattered robes with a sad expression. This vision, whether hallucination or spiritual experience, became his turning point. After recovering at home under his mother's care, Noom decided to become a novice monk to study at high school rather than return to Bangkok. He ordained at nearly 15 at his local monastery, then moved to a large monastery in the Khon Sawan province to pursue serious studies. I feel compelled to be the best novice I can be, he explains, both to repay my debt to the ghost novice and to not disappoint my parents or myself. Now he's studying for his high school certificate while also enjoying Pali and Dhamma studies. When he turns 20, Noom plans to become a monk for at least a couple of years. He's developed a strong interest in meditation and recently met a monk whose monastery runs a government-sponsored program helping young drug addicts through both medical counseling and spiritual support. Given his firsthand experience with drugs and interest in meditation, he believes he could contribute meaningfully to this important work. Whether the ghost novice was real or just a fever-induced vision, Noom reflects, I believe he pointed me in the right direction at the right time. I'll always remember him in my prayers. One of the first Buddhist teachings I learned was that everything that exists must eventually cease to exist. Nothing remains the same, even for a moment, begins novice Panya, who learned this fundamental Buddhist principle through painful personal experience before becoming a novice. After his mother's death, Panya's family had to reorganize. His grandmothers needed to work the fields full-time, so he became a temple boy while his sister went to live with their aunt. Though initially reluctant, he adapted well to monastery life while still attending school and helping in the fields on weekends. When Panya was 11, his paternal grandmother died peacefully in her sleep. Her death profoundly affected his other grandmother, who became withdrawn and died just months later. Without their help in the fields, his father struggled to manage alone. By the time Panya was 13, falling rice prices forced his father to borrow money, something he'd always warned against. Realizing farming couldn't sustain them, his father arranged for Panya to become a novice at a large monastery in Nakhon Sawan City, where he could get a proper education. When Panya visited 3 months later, he was shocked by his father's deterioration. Though not bitter, his father had lost heart after losing his wife, both mothers-in-law, and seeing his children leave home. His father decided to sell everything, clear his debts, and ordain as a monk at Panya's monastery. For a time, they enjoyed monastery life together, but then another lesson in impermanence struck. What began as a simple chest infection took his father's life. At 15, Panya had lost nearly everyone important to him except his sister. Rather than wallow in grief, he dedicated himself more seriously to novice life, realizing he could make merit for his departed family by being both a good student and a proper novice. My father's most important lesson remains with me, Panya reflects. Understanding impermanence allows us to accept situations as they are, cope with problems more easily, and live with greater contentment. After completing his high school studies, Panya disrobed and secured admission to a government agricultural college for a 2-year higher diploma course in animal husbandry. He later continued his education at university, pursuing a degree in agricultural science with support from the Students' Education Trust, turning the Buddhist principle of impermanence not into despair, but into motivation to create a meaningful future. The stories in Little Angels weren't called from hundreds of interviews. Peter Robinson spoke with only these featured novices plus 3 others. The 12 novices were chosen randomly, primarily for accessibility, coming from various parts of Thailand before arriving at his monastery in Nakhon Sawan province, known for its quality monastic schools. Interviewing these shy Thai youngsters required patience. Each completed a detailed questionnaire covering family background, childhood, reasons for ordination, benefits gained, and future aspirations. After translating their Thai responses, Robinson conducted personal interviews, sometimes multiple sessions for those reluctant to discuss traumatic experiences. Despite his extensive travel in remote Thai villages and work with impoverished children, some stories still surprised him. The extreme poverty shocked him, as did how many boys faced drug temptations or abuse from drunken relatives at young ages. Yet recurring themes of love, sacrifice, and parental determination to provide better opportunities also emerged. These stories aren't meant to shock. They likely represent thousands of Thai novices and hundreds of thousands of young people. They simply reveal the reality of rural Thai life that tourists rarely glimpse. After hearing these stories, Robinson established a scholarship program through his Students' Education Trust charity, specifically to help novices who wish to disrobe and pursue vocational education. Many former novices, including some featured in Little Angels, have since earned technical qualifications or even university degrees. The impact extends beyond individual lives. As these former novices return to their villages with education and skills, they help break cycles of poverty that have persisted for generations. Some, like Novice Noom, even dedicate themselves to addressing social problems like drug addiction that they once experienced firsthand. In this way, the monastery system, despite its imperfections and challenges, serves as a crucial bridge to opportunity for Thailand's rural poor. The saffron robes become not just religious garments, but symbols of transformation and hope, allowing these little angels to rise above their circumstances and create ripples of positive change that extend far beyond the monastery walls.